Meeting of the Finance Administration and Oversight Committee, coming to order. Are there modifications of the agenda? If not, it's approved as presented. The minutes of September 11th, are there additions, corrections, or modifications? If not, those are approved as presented. Our first action item is a staff report on the public hearing to increase charter fees. Ms. Kissel?
Yes.
Just a question. Does the committee require a presentation on this?
Yeah.
Or are we prepared to move it?
Yes. So moved.
I've got a question.
Second.
Okay. So moved. Can I have a second?
Second.
Yeah.
And the question, Mr. Zimmerman?
Well, I mean, this is just for hearing, right?
Yes.
The hearing has taken place.
This is to approve the fee.
This is actually approving the fee. I'm sorry. But nonetheless, my question is the statement on page, where is it? One second. I think it's page 11. Yeah. On what is page 11 in our presentation, increase the fee for lecture service to $172 per hour. What is that?
General Counsel had made the determination that the intent of the prior board resolution was to advertise the entire fee structure, even though there was one fee that was given as an example in the resolution. And as a result, the language in the resolution was interpreted that allowed us to encompass an additional rate that would include what we viewed as services that we have provided that included the lecture piece. And as a result, we included that lecture rate in this request.
Okay, let me start with a simpler question. What the heck is a lecture fee?
Right.
A lecture service. What is that?
It's really just the...
Right. I'm sorry. Can I try? There's an additional add-on fee if a company charters us and wants somebody to be on the bus with a microphone.
Okay. This is somebody standing on a bus. On the right is the Washington Monument.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly.
So this doesn't relate to anything involving, for instance, people speaking to jurisdictions. This is solely in the context of somebody buying charter service.
And what we had talked to the committee about, we just talked about the charter rate, but when we went to the public hearing, we realized the tariff does have this additional fee if somebody wants somebody with a microphone on the bus.
They actually do that very often?
Yeah, it has happened in the past. It's not a recent thing. But council pointed out for consistency to keep all the tariff rates in line with each other, needed to make sure that this additional fee is kind of caught up in the resolution.
I just wanted to make sure I understood what it was this applied to.
It's just for
the narrow
just
scope
for one of these.
Explained. Then it won't affect any jurisdictions.
No, it does not.
Anything else, so that's fine. Thank you.
Are we prepared to vote on this item? All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? All right. Our next item is to amend the fiscal 09 budget for security camera project. Again, is there a need for presentation on this? I have a motion for approval. Is that a second?
It is a second, but I would like to amend the resolution if I could.
Okay, then do you want to sort of back off and not approve? Move it yet? All right.
And it's actually very simple. In the next to last resolve clause, where it states the staff is authorized to issue billings to the District of Columbia for $200,000 and Fairfax County through the Northern Virginia Transportation Commission for $75,000, mm-hmm. I would just ask that we strike the through Northern Virginia Transportation Commission part so that it reads that it would be billed to Fairfax County.
Absolutely. No problem.
Okay. And you have no problem with a change to your
just
motion? Okay. Technical change?
A change in the way you want to do it. You want to do it on the basis.
Okay. Are we prepared to vote on this item?
With the amendment.
With the amendment, as amended. Well, it's now been changed, yeah. All in favor?
All
aye.
Opposed? All right. We have taken care of our two action items. Our first information item is the capital financing plan. Ms. Kissel.
This presentation, last month actually we prepared and presented the CIP to the board for their review and information. This presentation is actually to produce the framework of a capital funding plan consistent with that CIP. based upon capital, that is, projects that are projected, our former and grant funding sources, as well as forward and ongoing debt requirements. And this is to present that. Second page, actually, for this particular page, we presented an up to $11.3 billion capital needs inventory, and this, as I indicated, is just a framework to discuss a financing plan, a very preliminary pro forma financing plan that would accommodate that $11.3 billion. If we look back into history, Metro Matters, the current capital budget is structured under Metro Matters, as you all are aware. The capital, the CIP has quantified the $11.3 billion of needs, and the funding resulting from that is coming from two sources. Currently, there are two fundamental revenue sources, one being the $5.2 billion baseline, which currently reflects federal and local funding levels with assumed inflationary increases, as well as the most current Passenger Rail Investment Act authorization that was most recently approved, which authorized capital and preventative funding, maintenance funding for WMATA. If we look at history, the Metro Matters funding agreement over time reflects a half a billion dollar funding need per year. And currently, we have defined projects in the Metro Matters funding agreement that commits to those levels, as well as commitments from FTA and jurisdictional commitments. The chart below that you see there just gives you a snapshot of the Metro Matters funding agreement and what it looks like. The FTA grants total $1.4 billion over that 5-6 year period. The local overmatch, which we continue to receive from the local jurisdictions, as well as federally discretionary grants that we also receive. These are unique grants to WMATA that we actually get that are specific to WMATA and not authorized to other transit entities. We also have a level of debt borrowing in our Metro Matters funding agreement. We are anticipating at the end of fiscal year 2010, we would have an anticipated borrowing of almost $800 million. Currently, in this current year, we have commercial paper lending of about $330 million, which is the cap under the agreement. We also have $100 million of internal borrowing that we have applied to capital projects, to debt for capital projects, as well as we have a line of credit that the board has authorized of $100 million. That facility currently is about $500 million. We're projecting in 2010 that we would have $767 million of anticipated debt capacity and needs, if you will, by the end of the Metro Matters agreement. Go to the next page. As we approach the final year of 2010 and the final year of our capital funding agreement, we anticipate those funding needs to be as we have presented last month, $11.3 billion, but we would be adding the $800 million on prior commitment and debt from our Metro Matters funding agreement, which actually caps the funding need to $12.1 billion for Metro, for WMATA. This next chart actually is really a very high-level pro forma chart that combines the two funding streams that I just talked about. And these are based on known and identified funding sources that we've laid out. Certainly in the table, it lays out the baseline funding with the inflationary assumptions that we've placed in, and then the new funding that we've received in the authorization, understanding that we would have to still receive an appropriation for that amount. We're assuming it's $300 million a year that we would access, and the 50% match would come from the jurisdictions. Certainly the funding would never come out in a stream that evenly, because our needs will vary over year to year. But that just lays out the dollar amount. If you look at the next page, actually.
Ms. Hutchins?
I just wanted a clarification on the footnote where it indicates that it's the match for the $150 million.
Yes.
32. Actually, you're reflecting the match by jurisdictions, but the match for Virginia actually is the 38.5 that we generally have. I think it's 38.5.
Yes, I agree. I think the clarification that I wanted to make was this is certainly a pro forma, and should assume that it's a local jurisdiction match and other matches, and that's how we would get to the $150 million match. So it's not to presume certain jurisdictional levels, but it's just to presume that we would get that match from other sources as well as jurisdiction.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Okay, but that means that the footnote is incorrect.
Right.
It should say, and matched according to Metro Capital formula.
Yeah.
Actually, we don't have board policy yet on that match. In Metro Matters, the board established a policy that divvied up the local share. Mm-hmm. And Metro Matters expires, we'll need a board policy that divvies up the local share on the next capital.
Without program. Getting into the discussion about whether or not that is the intention, this enunciates a specific division that has certainly not been discussed.
It's just an assumption. But
yeah, not a good assumption.
Yeah, but I think the assumption should be clarified that it is consistent with what our match has been before. Unless we have changed it, we have not made a change on it.
You're correct. I think the chart should just be changed. Actually, on the chart, it says new funding.
Right.
And the footnote needs to be clarified. I agree.
That's exactly.
That clearly is something we have to take up in the context of how we have our dedicated funding.
If you go to the next chart, this actually just shows the point I was making about how your inflows of capital, as you all know, do never match your outflows. And as a result, typically we have been funded, you fund as pay-as-you-go capital. And there's some relative benefit to looking at different ways of financing that could smooth out your peaks and valleys depending upon the type of asset that you're procuring, whether it's buses, that are asset, large assets, rail cars, or for that matter, other types of assets. The next chart actually describes just the type of asset categories, the large purchases that we would be entertaining in the CIP, and the different types of financing strategies that the board could consider: vendor financing for rolling stock, tying vendor financing to procurement, system technology, lease purchasing, as well as maintenance. Traditional maintenance. The next chart is a chart that you're all familiar with, and I won't spend much time on it, but bottom line is that the regional investment in Metro has a great return, as you all know, and this just describes the return on the investment that we would make in Metro. The final chart really talks about the prioritization steps, ties the CIP capital needs to the financing needs, and talks about how, in the effort to prioritize our projects over the next several months, we would be looking at not just the projects, but the financing part of that as well. We would be able to develop cash flow forecasts, understand what our debt affordability is. Currently, right now, understanding our debt policy and recommending a debt policy for the board to consider. And actually assessing how we would do that. Part of the scoring and the prioritization, as well as we enter the end of the Metro Matters agreement, management and staff is looking to do a risk-benefit analysis to assist the board in making those types of decisions on future funding capabilities. And that would entail looking at federal appropriation risk and benefits. It would look at the risk and benefits to legal implications, as well as financing implications to risk and benefits, and also operational. That model will be assessed and developed and presented to the board during the prioritization presentation that the board will see probably in the spring quarter of the year. And so this was really just a snapshot to show you what we were providing and assessing and would like to provide to the board as we go through our capital investment plan and funding scenario.
So this is time for questions.
Yes.
I'll start out. I'd like to focus on pages, they're in the appendix actually, mm-hmm. 38 and 39 for a moment. And those, I think, break out what we've just been talking about, the $5.2 billion and the $8.2 billion that you were assuming will be available. And what that says is that there will be a slow but steady increase in federal grants, and that the local jurisdictions will match those grants. I think that's probably a safe assumption, though I would hope that the federal grants will go up at a little bit higher rate than what you're showing there. And that whatever it is that we're now doing in terms of overmatch, we will continue to do, but at a flat level.
That's correct.
And then if you go to page 39, it says, in addition to that, we will get $150 million a year in federal funding and match that with $150 million of non-federal funding. Okay? That gives us roughly $8.2 billion. And I think the next issue is, in starting with our priority process, that ought to be the target. What do we have to do to get ourselves down to $8.2 billion, which at this point appears to be affordable? And what would we do with extra dollars if we got more than 8.2?
I just might add one comment to that, and that's accurate. We would have to actually take off the top of that 8.2 the debt funding that we have already incurred for under Metro Matters Agreement. And currently it's at about $500 million, anticipated to go to almost up to $800 million.
You're saying that's the number one priority, is to pay debt?
That would be my recommendation.
Okay. So, but it seems to me the first thing we need is, if we're going to do priorities, we're saying $8.2 billion can reasonably be assumed to be available. What do we do to get between 8.2 and 12.1 in terms of, if more money were to become available, which projects would we undertake? Because that's really where you are right now. So it says the emphasis now is not on let's go find lots of funding sources. To the degree we find them, that's fine. But it's on setting priorities in a $12.1 billion program.
Part of the priority setting as well, Mr. Benjamin, is going to look at the federal appropriation and the risk to when we would be able to obtain and access that. If on a good day, it would be available, but not until 2011. Of course, you know, that's a risk that we would hope to include in our prioritization as we move forward.
Absolutely. Other comments, questions? Mr. Jane Fella.
Yeah, I appreciate your elaborating on that, Mr. Benjamin. But I, you know, I'm looking back at that assumption that fiscal 11 or 2011 that, while not likely, it's a possibility we'll get the match federal monies. And I'm thinking, are we overestimating our expectation here? And I think we may be, at least for the first year. And so, really, I would see $300 million just drop right out. So then, you know, then the importance of the priority setting will be even more important. And therefore, I want to stress that as we look at this, we need to kind of look at the worst-case scenario as well. What if we don't get what we are expecting or assuming, and what's our fallback? But the other thing was, you went through a whole series of charts very quickly on page 33 about all of the types of funding for construction, for rail cars, for buses. And what came to mind when I looked at that is that, you know, you're showing pretty much a ramp up of funding. And in fact, it's not what we have to do, because in some cases the rail cars may require more investment in one particular year than, say, construction generally. So the real question is, when you go back to look at your little scenarios, you know, how do we address at least the staff's recommendation of an increased funding for rail cars in a couple of those mid-years rather than the early years or the out years with this plan? So, I mean, you know, I'm looking at now the reality of how we actually put a capital budget plan together. So that was my only other comment. But those kind of charts show me that, you know, we don't need all the money in a ramp-up sort of way. We need it kind of in a regular kind of way.
I agree, and I was trying to make the point of the benefit to financing smooth out some of those peaks and valleys, if you will. Currently, as you all know, we have a TIFIA loan guarantee vehicle, contract vehicle, that actually allows the authority to enter into these multi-year contracts. As an access, actually almost as a smoothing vehicle, if you will, to do that. That actually will expire in July of this year, and we're looking at trying to extend that possibly in order for us to use it as a vehicle to smooth out some of our financing peaks and valleys as we go through, or cost curves, if you will.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? If not, let's move to the next presentation, which is the 7000 series railcar program. Mr. Kubitschek.
Good morning, Mr. Benjamin and committee members. My name is Dave Kubitschek. I'm the Assistant General Manager over Rail Operations. And to my right is Mr. Randy Posey, my manager in Rail Operations for Capital. Today, what we would like to do is follow up on the 7K and the status. Our previous presentations to date have really focused on the concept and the platform which we're working for towards. And this presentation will be surrounding the financial impact and our paths forwards and options. Next slide, please. Okay, on the program goals of this, looking out in the out years as Capital was referenced there, we've got some key objectives in the next coming 8 to 10 years. We've got the Dulles rail project that is coming on board possibly in 2009. We've got the replacement of the Aurora vehicles, the totaling 300. We've got the growth vehicles for us to increase our AM and PM peak service to 8 car trains. Between that is 220 cars, and then we also have a 4000 series rail car that is in need of midlife. Through this process, we were looking at capacity initiatives, reducing operating costs and maintenance costs, and at the same point in time, looking at environmentally advancing some of our maintenance practices and business practices, not only good for the planet, but also just in eliminating some of the costs and fees that are associated with some of the platforms that we're working with today. Next slide, please. Okay, this is the same slide that we had showed at the last presentation.
Excuse me for a second, Mr. Kubitschek.
Yes, sir.
Can you go back to the previous chart?
Yes, sir.
What's changing to Metro Brown to Metro Green mean?
Well, that was our kind of our reference or theme in becoming more environmentally friendly.
Oh, okay.
Not going to change the color.
We weren't changing the colors to green.
I mean, I like green and brown, but I just wasn't sure what you were referring to.
Well, we saw where we have some of our buses that are wrapped, you know, in Metro Green, and it seemed to be a good theme, so we said, you know, that we're moving forward as an agency. So.
Sustainability.
Okay. This is basically a breakdown of what we're of the previous slide on how we look at from a scheduling standpoint on looking at out in the out years as far as our production time, procurement times, Dulles, our needs for replacement stuff throughout. These numbers can fluctuate just a little bit, but whenever we stack all of our rail car needs and when equipment is starting to cycle out, it's approximate, very, very close. One of the items that is different, and I'll talk about this a little bit more on slide 6, is the commissioning and warranty facility. One of the things that we're looking at, and it's also will be in part of the evaluation of the capital in the future, is that for us to be able to handle the quantity of this need and looking at every opportunity for cost savings, we've got to do something to accelerate our ability to accept rail cars and to be able, we had received a previous question on our last meeting on what are we putting in place to make sure that our programs are much more successful. And this is one of those key areas that we'll all expand upon as we get to that slide. Okay, it's a little fractured. There were some previous comments about the needing of funding and the peaks and valleys and the capital profile. This is our effort on looking at all of the previous slides and our funding pattern, carrying it all the way from the beginning until the end. The reason why this would go out to 2022 is that we're also looking at like warranty replacement, you know, the actual closeout of the contract. If you see in the years closer in the impact here between 2012, you know, to 2017, you'll see a really aggressive spike in need for funding throughout. But again, for us, we approach this so that way y'all would have a clear view of what we're going through and what we see in the future as we move forward.
Can you stop, because we have some questions. Let me start. Let me just focus on 2010, if I may. 2010 is still part of Metro Matters. Are you saying that the 4000 series midlife rehab is in Metro Matters?
There is only a very minor amount of funding in Metro Matters for the 4000 series. So under $3 million.
How do you plan to, I mean, is you're saying that the 900,000 isn't there?
That's correct.
Okay. And you also have $9 million for a facility. You're saying that isn't there?
That's correct.
So how are you going to do this in 2010 when there's no money for it?
Well, we are showing the board what costs of this program are going to be and explaining how we have structured it to minimize costs and provide us a higher value product.
Okay, but you already have a commitment on how much money will be available in 2010. How are you going to fund this when you don't have any money?
The financing solution was not part of this program. We wanted to discuss cost benefit, and how we're going to fund it is something that needs to be worked out with the CFO and others as we go through prioritization and deal with the realities of.
So you're saying this is what you would do if the world were perfect, but the world isn't perfect, so you're going to change it?
Yes.
Yes, that is correct.
And that will be part of the priority setting process, and this will be subject to that same process. And so as we move forward, whether or not you do a commissioning and warranty facility and how many of these cars you do in what year will all be part of that priority setting process.
Yeah, absolutely. That's actually noted in the last page of our slide. Again, this is just a perfect world setting. Maximize our efficiencies that we can, but we're very realistic that we have to go through the capital prioritization, and how it falls out is how it falls out from there.
And could you describe for us, for the Dulles rail cars, what the status is in terms of funding availability for those?
We have gotten notification to begin the procurement process for the 64 rail cars. We went ahead and added the options in there because basically that would, when we look at from a financial standpoint, we're looking at economy of scale whenever we go out, so we're trying to maximize our footprint on the cars that we would try to acquire at one time.
So do we have money to buy those cars or just to start the procurement process?
We have the funding for the first 64 vehicles. It was put in place, and I believe a board resolution 2007-26 and 27 authorized the implementation of that, subject to a number of conditions that the board has imposed. I believe most of those conditions have been resolved.
For the first 64 cars?
Only for the first 64.
Okay. Mr. General Manager, you...
No, they were answering the question.
Mr. Giancola.
Yeah, just a question related to maybe a clarification on the eight-car trains. You're saying the growth of eight-car trains will have 75% of our fleet with eight-car trains. It looks like, what, at the end of 2020? Or what? I mean, I'm confused from that point of view and the fact that I thought some months ago there was some indication that we'll have, certainly during rush hour, all eight-car trains by 2010. So I'm confusing some of the earlier statements by you, Mr. Cato, about when we'd have implementation of rush hour eight-car trains versus ultimately all eight-car trains. Can someone clarify for me what the plan is on that?
If I may, the program had anticipated with Metro Matters providing 50% peak period eight-car train capability by 2010, which is the nominal end of the Metro Matters program. This provides 75 to 100% eight-car train capability. And
for the entire system or just rush hour?
This is rush hour. It's peak period. This was.
And it would be in the entire system.
All right, I just wanted to clarify that.
Yes,
I was a little confused.
Entire system. All alignments.
Thank you.
Mr. Zimmerman?
The timeline that's shown on the waterfall chart, page 50 in our presentation, appears to bring those in FY 17. Am I reading that right? Growth rail cars 100%?
Yeah, we have this chart here. Is physical year. The other one that we have is calendar year.
It could actually be 20. Well, so it could be earlier, but it can't be later than that. Fiscal year ends in June.
Right.
Fiscal year 17 ends June 17. Mm-hmm.
2016-2017.
This program will deliver the first set of growth cars in the 2014 to 2015 time frame, and the remaining growth cars would come approximately 2016 through 2017.
That's what I thought it said. So in other words, it's not 2020, it's 2017, possibly as early as, well, actually that would be, it's from the first quarter to the fourth quarter, so it's as early as July 2016, as late as June 2017.
Correct. This schedule illustrates the delivery period of the rail cars when they actually come into
my point. And the 75% would begin hitting in the middle of fiscal 14. So we're talking about basically late in 2014, and including in the middle of fiscal 15, which is late calendar year 14, about 6 years.
Any other questions?
When you were asking on Dulles, I think it was confirmed we have the first phase of the Dulles project. We have funding for those cars, that's 64 rail cars. Is there anything else in here that there's any funding for at this moment?
There is a very limited amount of funding in the Metro Matters program, probably about $5 million for the initiation of 4,000 series midlife rehab and the initiation of replacement of the 1,000 series.
$5 million.
Probably a maximum of $5 million.
I mean, that's what you paid a draftsman to write a report or something.
Yes, yes.
You're not going to buy a rail car with that.
No.
So the important thing to understand is this is a comprehensive plan to basically deal with all the rail car needs for the next decade, basically, which would amount to ultimately, including the rehabs, 748 cars. And we have 64 at the moment that we have cash in hand to initiate. The 4,000 series rail cars, just to clarify, the midlife rehab that will be part of that, is it envisioned that let me step back a second. When we've done rehab up to now on the Alstom, on the Breda cars, so it's like the 2,000, 3,000, when we get them back, they basically look like the newer series CAF or Alstom cars, right?
Yes, yes.
When we do this, is your plan to bring the 4,000 series cars to that or to the new standard of the 7,000 series?
The new standard of the 7,000.
So those basically get turned into the newest series of cars.
That is correct.
When they come back. So that's a real gut rehab.
Yes. The other component that I would also like to add is that based on our economy of scale and what we're putting out there in options, in our communications with the market, is that since there's only a quantity of 100, there could be a good chance in some of our solicitations where maybe some of the car builders come in and say, well, you know, based on the money and the size and scope of this project, that it's cheaper and more economical for us to basically replace the 100 rail cars instead of investing money to reinforce the frames, meet the new criteria. And so that is something that we're looking from a plan and forecast as well, and that's part of the reason why we wanted to put the 4,000 series in here, because if we kept them out as a standalone contract, we just wouldn't get economy of scale.
That's a final question. The summary report in the front end on the purpose of this says inform and facilitate discussion, blah blah, and says and request guidance concerning program composition and implementation. What guidance is that you're requesting from us on this information item today?
Well, along this process, we understand that we are pushing the envelope probably a little bit very aggressively in basically moving away from our typical platform of the two-car trains and the older technology and marrying things up. Based on the size of this order, you know, we're looking at over 50% of our fleet at this one single procurement. So we really want to make sure that everybody is comfortable as we move forward to say that we are committed to this new platform and economy of scale.
Mr. Cato,
I'm sorry.
Mr. Gilbert, you want to say something?
I just want a point of clarification on the monies for the cost of the Dulles project or the 64 cars. We do not have the money in the bank account, but we have as an assurance from the airport authority that they will give us a letter backing up those costs. And we expect that the full funding grant agreement, just technicality, is one thing.
But just so board members understand, that is money that in fact has been appropriated, including the state share of it. The state's providing its share of the funding. So it may not be in MoMATA's account, but
Right. Unlike
some of these other things, there's actually legislation to provide that money.
Yes.
And the state has its share of it.
Absolutely. I just want a point of clarification because it sounds as though it was in our account.
I do think that Mr. Zimmerman's point, though, is a very important one, which is we do have at least assurance to get the first
yes.
the money for the first
yes.
64 cars and the preparatory work to do that. After that, this is all subject to the prioritization process that we were talking about in the last presentation.
Yes.
And we may or may not do various parts of this depending upon where those things fall in the overall priorities that we have to set, given that we will not probably get $12.1 billion.
Yes.
It might be something less than that. Right. Any other comments at this point, or should we continue? Okay, could you continue, please?
Okay, what we did here is just really focus on maximizing our capital efficiencies. One of the things that on the earlier slide we talked about, the consolidated or the procurements, knowing what's taking place. If we move forward with one standard procurement, one standard rail car, there's a lot of fees every time that we have to start and end a procurement, and then we have to go back, revet, go through this continual process. Right now, we put a place marker at that about over $142 million. Now, in the commissioning and warranty facility, this right in here, we have the land at the Greenbelt shop, and the importance of it on the schedule in an ideal world is right now we're only able to really accept maybe 8 to 12 cars a month at best, and we have a short window of maybe 2 to 4 hours each night to get out there. It impacts customers. We accelerate wear. Also with our other capital program where we're going to start managing these larger grids of our infrastructure renewal, there'll be some other complications of that. If we're able to accept 16 to 20 rail cars, what that's going to do is that's going to cut several years off the project. With that, there's a savings associated with that that we can in turn apply towards a cost savings. The other component with this commissioning and warranty facility is that it would be a standalone facility that we can use it for 24/7. We can use it not only for the procurements but also for our existing rail stock to help us improve efficiencies if we have rail cars that are having problems, that we can stick it out there. Because right now we have to do everything at night, which is a premium. This would afford us 24/7. It's pretty straightforward on that. The infrastructure impact, this was a cost associated. We're looking at what it's going to take us to basically rehab up there on the Greenbelt right now because of the 2, 3, and the 6K procurement. The wear on the rail, the damage that we did to the track bed and everything else with this aggressive loading and stuff, this is just something that we're going to have to spend. And with that, we can avoid it and or at least defer it out a little bit longer. The next area is that we did receive a lot of comments about, well, why don't we just buy a 6,000 series rail car? We want to stay, you know, with the traditional platform and plan. So what we did is we looked at what was spent at the time on the last contract. We used just the normal escalation clauses and applied it. And then we cost out the 7,000 series. And realistically, economically, whenever we start taking out operator cabs, changing up doors, looking at different technology across the board, there is a savings to be applied here. With that cost savings, there is an additional close to $75 million right there looking at this platform.
Chair,
So that analysis is a little misleading. It assumes that you would not have to make any investments in training for your staff, maybe changes and other changes to accept the 700 series. How old is the 600, the 6,000 series?
6,000 series has just finished procurement. We've just gotten the last of them in recently.
So how long they've been operating, in operation?
Since about 2006.
So I'm assuming that the staff has been trained to operate, maintain, know all the nooks and crannies of the 6,000 series. So you're assuming some savings from acquisition, but what are the savings from operations associated with changing the series design from a 6,000 to a 7,000 series?
From an operations side of savings, the cars that we have right now, for example, like on the diagnostic side, we'll use the doors as an example. Whenever we have an 8-car train and the operator is inside there, they get a door fault. They get one enunciation, and then they have to look outside the rail car. They have no idea realistically where the door is at on that specific rail car. And whenever we're running 2.5-minute headways, that is so very critical. With this newer technology, we're actually going to have displays that actually identify every car, every door, and it's a response time within there. And the rail car in itself will be interactive towards our operators and maintainers. We'll have real-time information that we just presently do not. And that efficiency factored into our on-time performance and with our ever-increasing capacity needs is a big driver on our part.
So, but is there a way to quantify that savings?
Our next slide deals with the operating cost savings.
And before you go to the next slide, I'm always impressed when somebody can do an analysis like this and come up with a number to six-figure accuracy, $295,624,000. But what's really important here is not $300 million savings, but $300 million savings compared to what? What you're saying is, that's already assumed as your basic set of numbers for these rail cars, right?
Yes.
So we're not saving anything compared to the dollars that you're saying it's going to cost. We're saying we're saving it compared to what it theoretically might be if you didn't do this.
At the Planning and Development Committee, we'd received a number of questions regarding the 6,000 series design and why don't we just continue that design.
Mm-hmm.
There were a great many reasons why we did not. We went back to the baseline criteria for design and for acquisition to reevaluate the best possible way to procure these cars, because we, after 30 years, we now know how long an aluminum rail car lasts, and we're not entirely confident that it's going to be 40 years. We know that the new cars we buy are going to have to operate under far heavier loads, more continuously under those loads than any rail car we've had on the system in the past. And we know that operating costs and other costs are increasing. So we tried to devise the best possible means we could to reduce the acquisition costs and find a product that reduces our operating and maintenance costs through the life of the vehicle. And that resulted in the 7,000 series design and this procurement methodology. So what we're showing you is what it would cost if we bought the 7,000s versus what it would cost if we bought the 6,000 series and did our traditional incremental procurement.
But if you did everything totally differently.
Yes.
But you could buy the 6,000 series and do all of the things that save you $220 million.
Yes.
Okay. So this isn't all the difference between the two, only the $75 million is that, assuming that those numbers are right. Okay.
Yes.
But what we're talking about here is you're saying if we did all the things that you call for, you believe it's going to cost $2 billion to do this program. If we didn't do those, you believe it would cost $2.3 billion.
That's correct.
Is that
yes.
the message?
Yes.
Okay.
Are we taking up the design issues in November? And Ms. Hutchins is meeting later this month. Is that when we're going to provide our guidance on design?
We had been to the planning committee with the design issue previously. We had not considered coming back in November again with it.
Well, what does this mean here?
Unless you'd like us to.
November 2008, received board guidance for 7,000 series specifications.
He's looking at the last slide.
What does that mean? I'm only raising this now because it connects into the design issues.
No. We were hoping to provide you with more information concerning cost and cost benefits of this design based on questions that came out of the P&D committee presentation, and hoping to get your opinion on this package before it's necessary to go to the board for the Dulles program.
Where will this come back?
I remember only vaguely our discussion about the design. Perhaps others remember it better.
We did.
But I don't remember a consensus being. Did we reach a consensus?
I think we had questions for that we wanted to have cost, and I think many of the questions were raised about the change in technology and those pieces that the two series represent. Yes. And you would come back with that information.
Yes, and
but we didn't reach a, just to complete my question. Mm-hmm. We didn't. I don't remember reaching. Well,
we did not have. No, we did not have a motion or any action
so
to move forward
on that. So what
does
this mean, board guidance?
We had hoped to receive some guidance
today
or information out of our presentation today.
Even though you're not presenting a design. Issues today. I'm confused.
Are there guidance issues that you would like to put in front of us right now?
Can I just in, Dave? I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the points that we wanted to get board guidance on was the ability for WMATA to proceed with a RFP process. Which is a considerably lengthy process, and something whether you're procuring 64 rail cars or you're procuring several, you know, 100, and I believe that's a 10 or 11 month process, and that needed to be started pretty quickly in order to meet the deadline in the Dulles project. And on the notice to proceed or the RFP, the guidance that we wanted to get was if we could send out an RFP that had the large amount of potential procurement on these rail cars, not committing the authority to this, but just teeing that up to the RFP. And then the board would make that decision, obviously, when we get to the notice to proceed a year later. Is that correct,
Dave?
But
you're not asking for an action from this
no.
committee at this point?
We're
nor
not,
the board?
No.
Because this is not an action item. So you want to get the opinions of the various people in this committee about that issue? Is that
yes.
what you're asking for?
Yes.
That is correct.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Well, I just wonder why when 15 minutes ago I asked about the guidance you were asking for, you didn't say that. I don't have a problem with the concept here. I do think there needs to be clear distinction between things that are being presented for information, and when staff knows they need to ask us a question to get our direction. We're meeting in committee, it's, you know, formalized, and the danger is that they'll leave here believing they've been given guidance on something, and people on this side of the table won't know we gave that guidance, and will later be told we made some decision. We didn't know. When did we make that decision? So, you know, I don't have any problem with that individually. That, you know, speaking as an individual, that makes sense to me. But when you're looking for direction of that kind, it probably should be an action item.
Ms. Hutchins.
I think what you're looking for us to give you then is the go-ahead that the information you have provided is information that gives us an understanding of the design features as well as what you see as the cost savings or the most financially appropriate approach so that you can start the procurement process.
Yes, that is correct.
But starting the procurement process is no commitment of the board. Is that correct? Is that okay?
That commitment to buy these cars.
Right,
that is
right.
Correct.
Because you would still need to come back to us with the final.
Absolutely. That's why we would also be coming back in December to request and to receive formal approval from the board. Can we please go out for this quantity of 748 rail cars with the base being 68 and with the understanding that any of the options and would have to be
would have to cycle back through the board, and even before we did prior our award, we would have to come back to y'all in like the October 2009 timeframe after we went through this process.
So you're saying that right now you're trying to explore with us the ideas that you think you want to present to us in December?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
And Mr. Cato?
Just to make sure we're clear here, when we come back in December, the reality is we have to go out with the RFP with the specific, to begin the process of a specific design in order to meet the Dulles project. So while this is not an action item, it is, staff is taking it as some guidance of, we're recommending we go for 7,000 series cars with the upgrades and the changes that's been mentioned here. And we wanted to get into that discussion. Some questions came up concerning that change. And if we need to change it to an action item, then we're going to have to do that at the board meeting, because when we come back in December, we're going to have to order cars. Okay.
Mr. Zimmerman and then Mr. Graham.
Part that was my point, that if you're looking for the board's blessing on this, then you have to explicitly ask it. You don't later get to say, well, you did before, although you didn't know it. And again, I think it makes sense, and I'm inclined to do that, but that should be made clear. But to clarify Hudgens' point on this, the notion is we're going to be approving, going forward with this RFP, the respondents to which will know that we are in a position to buy 64 rail cars, and we may be interested in 748. And whether we're anywhere in between 64 and 748, they don't know.
Right.
But they want to be able to have that opportunity for whatever funding we get to be able to sell them to us.
Through options.
Through options. Now, does that include, are we asking for it in a way when it comes back that we would know, here's what it is for 748. If you guys decide you're only buying 600, here's what it would be. If you're only buying 300, where it would be, something so that we understand what the menu is, and that the those who submit understand that that's the range of possibilities.
Yes. In this, whenever we have the options and such group, we'll have different pricing, for those.
The answer is yes. We
yes.
know what.
First, Mr. Graham, and then Ms. Hutchins.
Right, but, I don't have any problem with this approach, except that, we're being called upon here, it seems, to provide some kind of, quote, guidance on specifications, on design. And I haven't, I have questions about design of these cars. And so I don't know when we do that. Now, we can do that later this month. I don't have any problem with doing it. You're meeting in 2 weeks' time, I think, with your committee. But, there are certain questions I wanted to raise about specification. And what's before us today is all financing. I'm wary of this being interpreted as a design approval when we don't have the design issues before us.
Well,
and unless I'm missing.
I'm sorry.
I know we're anxious to move along, but could I finish the sentence?
Ms. Hudgens is very anxious to finish your sentence.
I only wanted to finish your sentence because I think the clarification that staff is trying to make is that we as a board are being informed why the 7,000 series transition may be beneficial to us, and therefore the next procurement contract includes the 7,000 series and the options that are needed for us to purchase in the future the long term of cars. And so we brought in P&D design issues. We had questions raised to that. I think what we are needing is a specific, more specific action item. And what we would be saying is not only that we're going forward, but then we are transitioning to the 7,000 series cars, one on design features and two, the economics of it.
Right.
And I think that's the piece that
What we have before us today is just the economics.
Well, we have the design and P&D preceding this for that reason.
But we haven't finished the work. I'm just speaking with one member of this board. If there's going to be options attached to this, where we have even a larger potential commitment, I want more time spent on whether we have an agreement on the design of these cars. And that's That's what I'd like to see, and we're not going to do that today. This cannot be the November guidance on the design. That's all I'm saying. Because we don't have those issues before.
I think we can clarify this then by simply making it a P&D action item the next meeting, in which we will review any design questions so that we are all in the same ballpark.
That's all I was saying.
May I try to clarify what I believe the staff is proposing? And so far, the board has not objected to, but certainly not has not endorsed what you're proposing. And I'm going to leave open the issue of what the design is and what the specifications are and deal only with the financial aspects. You are proposing that we start moving forward on a $2 billion program, the first step of which would be 64 cars for Dulles, which you would put out in an RFP if and when we propose, we approve that. You have that scheduled for December. And that is all we would have funding for. The remaining cars would be options above and beyond that. And when you come back to us and say it's time to approve, we will have completed the prioritization process for the entire capital program so that we know what we can or cannot afford and what is in this program. So you won't come back to us in the spring of 2000. Oh, I'm sorry. It'll be what, about 10 months later, right?
No,
so
October.
In October of 2009, you won't come back to us and say, well, we want you to move this ahead of the rest of the prioritization. By then it will be done, or else you won't come back to us.
That is correct.
Okay.
We will go through the prioritization process.
And so the only thing that the board will be acting on in December will be to move ahead on 64 cars, and prior to that, we will in P&D committee have discussed one more time 7,000 series versus 6,000 series design issues.
Yes.
And it will be only a commitment for 64 cars.
Yes, for us to be able to release a request for proposals for Dulles.
With that clarification, is there anybody on the board who wants to say no, no, no?
Well, I want to say something, which is that you were proceeding on the assumption that these 64 cars are compatible with all of our other cars, right? And are interchangeable,
no.
They're not?
No.
They can only be used, no. There's the answer to the question, they can only be used on this extension and nowhere else.
No, they can be used anywhere.
No, they would be interchangeably able to operate on any alignment that
okay.
we have.
Not okay.
With other cars.
What?
They can run anywhere in the system, but not with the other cars.
We can't connect a 7,000 series to a 6,000
right.
series.
But if we ordered the 6,000 series, we could.
Correct.
Right? So we could use the cars elsewhere as they were needed. Is that right?
In both technologies you can use anywhere. The issue becomes you cannot couple a 7,000 with a 6,000 series car, but you can operate an 8-car train of 7,000 series just like you do the 6,000s
right.
today anywhere in the system.
Right. But isn't it a factor in our decision? If we were to order the 6,000 series design, they would be totally interchangeable throughout the system.
It would be, but it creates other issues, technology issues, and that's what we brought forth in our discussions with the planning committee, and that's what we will reemphasize again when we meet on the 20th.
Is everybody satisfied, and do you understand that you've received no guidance? What you've received is an absence of objection.
Thank you.
of rejection. Is that right?
No, what you've received is that we will make these, we'll make the guidance later in 2 weeks' time.
On one set of issues, and you know, this is not an approval for this program. It's not an approval to buy 740 rail cars. It is purely an examination of a proposed program which will be subject to a rigorous prioritization in the future.
Also not in any formal sense guidance on the form of the RFP to be prepared and ultimately issued.
That's correct.
If the manager feels he needs that, this board is here in 2 weeks, as Mr. Graham points out. A relevant committee is meeting that morning, and we have a board meeting afterward. So I would say if staff goes back and decides they need more formal guidance, then they should be prepared to request that.
That's right.
Any more comments?
So silence is what you're getting.
Lack of objection.
Silence.
Can we have a quick review of the financial
financials for...
Yes, I will go very quick. While Janice is putting the page up on the screen, this is the August report, so the second month of the fiscal year. We're a little behind the times. It's just been difficult getting reports out. At the next month's meeting, I will bring you September and October, so we'll be a lot more timely from here on out through the rest of the fiscal year. After 2 months of operations, I'm happy to report we are under budget. I'm looking at page 60 in your paper handouts. Starting at the bottom of page 60, real quickly, I'll just draw your attention to the cost recovery ratios. Currently, the cost recovery ratio is at 62%, which is kind of a notable change from years gone by. Metro Access continues to run at about 5%. Metro Bus continues to run a little better than 30%. Metro Rail is now running at about a 90% cost recovery ratio. So I just draw your attention to that. That happened because of how the last fare increase was implemented. So the Metro Rail revenues increased dramatically. So Metro Rail is
shipping up, right?
And so my only point was that this is a notable change by more than kind of 10 points from what historically we've been running around here.
So the rail riders are now paying 90% of the cost of running rail, and the bus riders are paying half the cost of running bus.
That's correct. Just coming up from...
That's right.
Sorry, 30%.
30%. You're right.
Sorry. 25% of the cost.
So running up the page, there's the cost recovery. On an operating budget sense, the subsidy is running a little bit below budget right now. That's mostly made up of expenses coming in under budget. Revenues are exactly on budget after 2 months, which is a little odd given the ridership numbers that we've got going on. This is analysis that staff is looking at right now to try and figure out why there's not a better correlation between these ridership numbers and these revenue numbers. I think next month when I come back with the first quarter actual results, we can dive into that a little deeper. But like I said, after 2 months, I think we're in pretty good shape.
Any comments or questions? If not, this meeting is adjourned.